everybody, and welcome to our next round of Buddhas and Butterflies. This is the year of the eight extra meridians. Welcome, and please join me in welcoming all of the new folks. We've got a few new people that you might see, or they may be listening to the recordings. On that note, and it's a good reminder for us all, the sessions are here to serve you, not the other way around. So working with the content whenever it feels right is the invitation. This is never a place where you have to like do all the right things in all the right order at all. That doesn't really exist in how I view this all. So this is an opportunity to be in whatever feels right for you. And that includes your timing of how you operate with all of the sessions. There may be some that you never even get to for whatever reason. And there might be others, I've heard this from a few people, they have a few favorites that they go back and they hit replay multiple times on. So this is in your service, not the other way around. Okay. Yay, 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 indeed. I echo that sentiment in the chat feature so tremendously much. That almost came out in English. Still finding my words. It's been a busy week of talking. So as we get going, I have a feeling my words will kick in again. On that note, as we do get going, we're gonna chat just very, very briefly, just in case anybody didn't get the information about eight extra meridians. I recorded all of the transform emotions into energy sessions. They are in what's referred to as the foundational content for Buddhas and Butterflies. Please watch at your own leisure, whenever feels right for you. And in one of those, on the very last one, actually, in the integration session, I touched briefly upon a few of these points as well. Okay. So I'm going to do kind of a quick synopsis review, a summary of that summary. And the eight extraordinary channels, extra meridians, as I've been referring to them, act as, in a way, a reservoir, and it's a reservoir of energy for the other 12 meridians. So there's excess energy in one of them, it can go into the reservoir. And then when that meridian might be a little bit depleted or in need, it can pull from that reservoir. And these particular eight extra meridians, they hold a variety of energy to replenish any of the organs. They have to be, in a way, I almost think of it like a stem cell, in case anyone's biologically minded like that, and meaning that they have pluripotentiality, meaning that it can serve a wide variety of different things. So the energy in the eight meridians can be that replenishment for any of the organs, which means it has to have a lot of functionality, a lot of flexibility in its functionality. Yeah. It can also, these eight particular extra channels can absorb energy from our nervous system energy, which is the Kundalini, in another word. It also controls our ancestral energy, including our DNA, our genetic stuff. And it also works with those pathologies that are in the genetic coding, whether that's in the histone or in the methylation parts, for those of you who have taken some deeper dives into genetic work. The psychic functioning and our expression of our sense of who it is we are as an individuality, as an individual, pardon me, is also tied in here. And it also helps to govern our life cycles in transformation. So these eight extra meridians do no small amount of things. And as we go through them one by one, mostly one by one, there's going to be a couple times where we double them up, and I think, see why we're going to do that when we do that and where we do that. And I'll explain more sort of as we get into that territory. And as we work with all of them, we will also be seeing how they intermingle. Between, in a way, they're linking between that Kundalini, that nervous system energy, and the 12 meridians. When we talk about nervous system energy, that's heavily tied into the governing vessel, which is the meridian that we're going to start with. And it also draws heavily on the kidney energy, the kidney meridian energy. And that means we're likely going to see a little bit of those faces of fear. I talked a little bit about them in Transform Emotions into Energy, and I'm going to continue the conversation here. for the people who did last year, you got a chance to vote what we were doing this year. And one of the options was the trauma release work, working with the five faces of fear. So I'll start to introduce some of those concepts. And I know it was a very close second to the eight extra meridian with all the votes that were cast. So I'm going to tie in as much as I can in this conversation as well. Okay. So on that note, I'm only going to talk briefly, and then I promise to hit session mode real fast here, another 3, 4 minutes. Quickie intro in the governing vessel meridian. I won't belabor too long. I'll try to, string out the theory a little bit more over at the next several sessions, because we've got 8 sessions coming up in the governing vessel meridian. Real brief. The governing vessel meridian works to stabilize our nervous system energy, that kundalini. It helps to ground us, and it works with our survival stuff. It also governs our Wei Qi. Our Wei Qi is that protective energy layer that surrounds our entire external body. And as it does so, it actually also supports the frequencies of Wei Qi. From a body talk perspective, we classically see those as physical, climactic, meaning is it humid, cold, warm, dry outside, and emotional, along with psychic or EMF. In addition to that, there are other frequencies of the Wei Qi. And we're working with the Wei Qi really in this lens as being a bit of a master controller of our immune system. So it's going to support the immune system in defending against things like pathogens, climates, emotions, EMFs, etc. Okay. So we may see that come into play in the next couple of months as we work with this one. On a mental health level, the governing vessel meridian also supports us in becoming upright, independent, and in a way supporting our capacity to become even more mature. Many of us sort of get stunted around 10, 11, 12, and many of us prior to then have had a developmental disruption of some sort in early childhood, depending upon which attachment theory we look at and which one we may identify with, or which combination of them. Around 10, 11, 12 is when most of us start to plateau on the mental emotional level. We might develop fancier language for many of the concepts, but because most of our caregivers sort of plateaued at that level, most of us don't really get too much further past that. So this is the opportunity for us to look at anything that's delaying that to support, in a way, almost like a ritual of initiation or a transition might, which we kind of lost, quite frankly, in our modern day cultural times, to support that capacity to be able to be within an emotional place where, well, I'm going to sum up actually Michael Brown's words, which I did use earlier last week as a quote as well. I'm going to paraphrase it. This comes from his book, The Presence Process. And he says, it's not about feeling better, it's about getting better at feeling. So when I think of emotional maturity, I very much think about getting better at feeling and being able to hold a wide range of things in the face of whatever might be happening and still hold your center, still hold your seat. Yeah. Okay, on that note, the last thing that I'll mention on a mental level for this one is it helps to support you in coming out to take a little bit of a risk when it's appropriate. Doesn't mean dive into impulsivity, but also not to be fully risk averse. So just finding that right balance there. Okay. I will likely weave in some other pieces as we go, but on that note, I'd like to transition into session mode. So I'm going to invite you, if you haven't already, to settle on in and make any micro adjustments that you might need, getting comfy, cozy. I wore my Buddha and butterfly dress, although I don't know that the camera's picking it up very well today. I don't know that you can see it very well, but there you go. There's a Buddha face and there's some butterflies to kick us off for today. And I have a couple of Buddha butterfly outfits. The color blue was purposely chosen to work with fear, because fear is associated with the water element, which is blue. So there you go. All right, y'all. Thanks for hearing my little geeky wardrobe choices for this morning. As we settle on in even maybe deeper, I'm going to invite you to breathe. To breathe consciously for just a few minutes. And as you settle in with this breath, invitation to inhale vibrantly. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in, to receive, to connect to life. And every exhale, an opportunity to release. To let go, to make space, and every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. Perhaps noticing what it is to be received by that cushion below you, and what it is to drink in its receiving energy. What is it to receive supports in this small way? And if any part of that is pleasant, at the very least, neutral. Taking a moment to drink that in and savor it. And then I'll invite you to also notice what's the impact? What is it to be in this moment of savoring? What do you notice happening inside the body? And now I'm going to invite you to scan. Many of you have done this a few times with me. To scan your, if your eyes are open, external environment or internal. If your eyes are closed, in the internal environment. And as you scan outwardly or inwardly, letting the gaze land on anything that's pleasant, at the very least, neutral. And as this pleasant, neutral thing has been found, taking a moment to notice what it is you like the most about it. Pardon me. Hit a wrong button. And as you notice what it is you like the most about that thing, I wonder what seems to happen if you take a moment to be with it, to savor it, and to receive it for the nourishment that it very well may be. Perhaps breathing with it to notice how the body responds. And if any part of that is pleasant or the very least neutral, savoring that as well. And while you savor, I'll offer my thanks. Thank you all for being here and all that it's taken to come here and be here together. Thank you to your communities, your families, your ancestors, your lineages. And the deepest of thank yous to those that have nourished, caretaken, stewarded the very land that's fed us all and supported us all. Thank you for calling this medicine in. And thank you for so mindfully navigating your body, your minds. Blessings on this journey, this year together, this session today. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace. 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 And now I'll invite you to scan your body one more time. Noting, perhaps tagging in a way or bookmarking the resource that I'm going to call it that you just found, the thing that's pleasant or neutral. Knowing that you can come back to this at any point in time, whether we're working together at the end of the session or any time today, and it can continue to serve you. As you scan your body mind one more time, this time looking for anything that might feel not quite like that resource, maybe even opposite of that resource, anything that's calling your attention. And if you have anything in particular that you're declaring as an intention for today, you are welcome to type that out into the chat feature. I'm gonna keep checking back on that. And standing offer, if anyone feels called to email prior to the session that intention, you're welcome to do so. You're welcome to do so. I did get a couple, as some of you already know that. And although not too much, so I didn't get too much input for today. Let's see what shows up in our session here. Okay, now, as we really get going with this governing vessel, Meridian, to sort of set the stage for that, we're going to resource it, bringing in circulation of all the healing resources to this Meridian pathway, which starts between the perineum, or in the perineum, between either the vagina or the testes and the anus. It's a little closer to that tailbone side of things. And this point that kicks it off, then sends the chi on upwards in much like a wave fashion, and almost like a tide in a way, through the central channel of this governing vessel meridian, all the way up the midline of the back body. And as it rises all the way through to the very center of the crown of the head, and then goes a little bit more internal, and it circulates where the two governing masculine and conception feminine vessel meridian meet up, which is in that upper frenulum of the lip. And for many people, traditions, cultures, they say that if you would take the tip of your tongue, or maybe just a centimeter or two back from the very tip, depending on how long your tongue is, I've got a long one, and reach it to the roof of your mouth where that tongue just naturally rests there, is meant to be how this cycle sort of closes that loop together to allow for that chi to flow really effectively. So we're mostly going to be working with the governing vessel where it becomes external, and there's a few different points on that. But for right now, we're just circulating all the basic healing resources to everything through this meridian, including blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains our toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with sheer vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, the electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons. Also working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones and endocannabinoids that are meant to lower inflammation, anxiety, excuse me, depression, and help out our nervous and our immune system alike to heal, really most of our body on that matter. And we're going to also circulate yin and yang, feminine and masculine, and we're going to run hydration, helping the cells to absorb water and joy, release any impurities that just don't need to be here. And as we get those guys going, as that lymph circulates in particular, I see it cleaning out overthinking. And in particular, related to that, the need to micromanage or control out of that need to want to prevent something challenging, traumatic, difficult from happening. So it's coming from a good place, but the results are, it creates a bit of a stranglehold and a bit of a pattern where it might even be off-putting to others to be interacted with in that way. In a word, we might even, see it as a form of smothering. And as we sort of unhook that pattern, so to speak, via lymphatic circulation through this governing vessel meridian, it's linked to the fear specifically that someone might experiencing something painful that they don't need to. So again, it's coming from that very kind-hearted place of wanting to prevent pain in another. However, there's a give and take here as well. People might need a little bit of pain to support their own coming to awareness or awakening into their own understanding of how things might be for themselves. And it's also perhaps, as these are the permissioned words coming up in just a moment, not your job to have to save them. So on that note, the permissions here is, I don't have to save them. I don't have to save them. What if it was never your job to have to save them? And as we work with this, it actually begins to restore the very natural, healthy protection through the governing vessel meridian. And this natural protective energy, in a way, sends a message. And I think if the governing vessel medicine, perhaps, meridian could talk, it might have the message of, I've got your back. I've got your back. So as we support it in not micromanaging it or telling it how to do its job, it can actually just flow effortlessly, naturally, in a way that will be protective in its healthiest of forms. And that's all linking into house number six, house of the small intestine meridian, which connects us to our intellect, our awareness, our discernment. And here we're going to run a cellular repair, restoring cells back to their fullest potential of health for that small intestine meridian. Pardon me, for the small intestine organ. And then we're going to link that into the meridian. And to be clear, the organ is a part of the meridian. It's just the part that we sometimes separate out because we can more easily see it. It's the densest manifestation of that meridian. So as we link the densest part back into the, what's the opposite of dense? Lightest part? I'm going to go with that for now. It actually creates this interesting softening throughout the small intestine organ itself. And as this softens, I see the small intestine as letting go of, quote unquote, the need to figure it out. The need to figure it out. Sometimes we can get stuck in loops of how do I do this? How does this work? And here, as we give ourselves a bit of space from that how, it actually allows the intellect to be in service to the body in a different way. In a way which again is a little bit more spontaneous, not so micromanaging, but in a way that arises when and as needed. And on that note, we're gonna run lymphatic drainage through the intellect itself, through the cognitive thinking parts of you. And as we run this lymphatic drainage, cleaning out any low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing. And then we're linking it into the bladder and the kidney meridians to support nervous system regulation slash stability slash coherence slash resiliency. Okay, all the good things for the nervous system. And as that stabilizes, I actually see that it's also making the governing vessel meridian's job even easier, as it doesn't have to work so hard to stabilize the nervous system on its own. As the kidney and the bladder are actively involved in that, the governing vessel meridian can become more of a reservoir again and return to its natural, healthy role in its own way, of doing those functionalities. Then we're linking this all into house number 12, house of releasing, surrendering, letting go. And we're going to tap out this part here. I'm going to invite you to breathe however the body mind feels called to. And if you wish, you are welcome to join me in tapping, although no, it's not required. I'll take care of the heavy lifting, so to speak, on this end. Okay. We're just going to give that another few breaths to digest, to integrate. And we're heading down to the tailbone. And I often think of the tailbone as a bit of like a rudder. Depending upon which way it's ever so slightly tilted and angled, it can send our body into a bit of an angle. And we might weight bear more on one side. And it might even steer the direction to be more in our masculine or more in our feminine. The right side being our masculine of our body, and the left side being the feminine of our body. And as we work with this, I see it tilted ever so slightly, so the body is in the masculine, like it's driving extra energy there, in part because of the culture, the patriarchal times that we're in. It's like that's considered a strength or a good thing to be in our masculine nature. And not that it's a bad thing, we're just gonna give it a little bit of flexibility to also explore when and as needed the other side of things and bring in that feminine into awareness in perhaps different ways that may not have been so available before. And as we ever so slightly rearrange this tailbone, this coccyx, that governing one vessel points begins to pulse. And I actually see it becoming alive in a way that it may not have been so available before. And as it pulses, I actually see it very rhythmically pulsing, almost like a drum beat to ground into the earth below. And as our perineum naturally grounds, governing vessel one is support above that, in addition to also its role in nervous system regulation. And as it pulses rhythmically, almost in a drumbeat fashion again, it brings in the energy of celebration, of ceremony, of a connection to perhaps times when the ancestors may have done things a little differently than how our modern day society works. And as it begins to call into the ancestral realms, going back 10 generations, 10 generations through both sides. And as we work with these, bringing in the kidney 24 points as a bit of a satellite or as a resource of sorts to connect into those ancestral burial grounds, the spiritual ancestral burial grounds as they represent. As we go back 10 generations, we're looking very specifically at the posture of the body and how it is your spine specifically is held. The postural control muscles, they're known by a couple different names. I often call them the erector spinae that run in between the vertebrae. And as we work with the erector spinae muscles, and specifically, their inherited postural inputs from 10 generations back. We are beginning to repattern. What if we could bring in just a little bit of celebration energy via that governing vessel 1 point? What if we could also hear the ancestors' celebration in their own ceremonies that they may have reached out to rely on healing, to rely on release, to rely on connection to that which may have felt beyond them, to spirit, to source, to that which is eternal, whatever your name might be for that. And as that pulsation continues to ripple through, allowing the spine, much in a way that it might if it was dancing, celebrating through movements, begin to unwind some old adhesions that are not even yours. We've got 10 generations worth here. Specifically through that thoracic spine is where I'm seeing a lot of them unwind and release. And as it comes off of that thoracic spine, releasing along with it the underlying patterns of wanting to collapse in the face of life's challenges versus find that sense of inner strength, power to be able to traverse life. And on the other side, celebrate the victory, celebrate the sense of self that arises. And as we continue to unwind through that thoracic spine, I see it very particularly go through that left rhomboid muscle, which hangs out between the shoulder blade and the spine. And then all the way out through to the left shoulder blade itself to allow for that shoulder blade to become just a little bit freer in its capacity to move and groove without the weight of the rhomboid slumping it down. That's a technical word, slumping. The left arm, pardon me, shoulder blade, and therefore arm by extension, becomes lighter, freer, not so heavy to carry around. At the very top of that thoracic spine, I see it releasing a whole lot of fear from the governing vessel channel itself. And this roadblock of fear right near governing vessel 14 point, which is the most masculine, the most yang point, governs all things yang from this point, has a few things going on. We're going to run a Sidri on it. And this point of fear that is related to all things masculine might work with, for example, a fear of men, a fear of our patriarchal culture, a fear of where that might take us, a fear of some of the masculine traits, which, for a quick summary, could be something like protection, providing, being provided for, procreation. Accomplishment, getting things done, making things happen, vitality, taking action is all in the mix here, to just name a few. And as we release fear from here with this Sidri, freeing up in particular those blocks that may have even seemed like really reasonable ideas for not moving forward in a particular direction of life, whether that's your business, your career, something personal, whatever the goal of the day, week, month, year, decade is. Where is it we're quote unquote feeling like we're held back by reasons that might even seem very logical, very rational. And as we work with that block, looking at it almost as if it's got the face of fear of being frozen. And as we work with that frozen energy, it tends to have this energy of just staying stuck, So this is what we're running the C tree on. The C tree starts with C, circulation of all those same healing resources. So we started off running through the whole meridian. Now we're going to do for just this point. Then D for defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking out all the clutter that doesn't need to be here. What remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. Followed by all the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking, opening up to possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. And then integration, introspection, shift the underlying consciousness. Perhaps thinking of this as the surrender, the release, the letting go. And as we run the C tree, that fear of taking that risk, even though you might have really good reasons for it, begins to unravel slowly, and it's going to continue to run over the next several days, 4 or 5 days. Be a little different for everybody. And as we run that, bringing in that resource that you found at the very beginning, that thing that was pleasant, or the very least neutral, to support the unfolding of this over that next few days. And as this runs, I also see this as updating the ancestors through all 10 generations, that things get to be a little bit different now. And that their potential postural protection with the spine around this point was lovely, and thank you kindly for keeping you safe till now. And now things get to be different because there's other resources, there's other tools, there's other possibilities available that may not have been 10, 9, 8, 7 generations ago. And as we support the body mind in integrating in this way, linking it into house number 8 for death, rebirth, as well as regeneration. And it's also, for whatever reason, bringing in other people's money. And I'm seeing it a little bit more conceptual in the form of abundance and being able to welcome abundance from others, whether that's financial abundance, love abundance, emotional, mental abundance. And we're linking this all into Mrs. Liver. And as we connect to the liver, I actually see the liver begin to pulse, much in the same way that governing vessel one was, rhythmically coming alive, almost like it has its own heartbeat now. And as it comes alive, releasing a little excess fear energy from here too. That was preventing the natural, healthy energy of liver's anger and creating movement and release of toxic patterns from 10 generations back. And this fear is held mostly in the lining, so to speak, the connective tissue, the capsule of the liver itself. And as that gets released, also unwinding any connective tissue adhesions through the liver, in particular on the topmost part of the liver, the part that's closest to the head, and where it interfaces with the breathing, the regular breathing diaphragm, helping things to be slidey, also a technical word, as that way the liver can get massaged every time you breathe. And we're linking that liver into the breath cycle. Every inhale, an opportunity for that diaphragm to extend downward, massaging the liver. Every exhale, there gets to be some space for the liver as the diaphragm floats upwards. And in this way, this pulsation too becomes a form of celebration of the life force from our very breath itself. That's all linking now into the natural house of the liver, house number 12. And as we connect to house number 12, working with that energy of peeling back the layers of who it is we are not, reminding ourselves that yes, we are the stuff of our ancestors and we are ourselves. We also get to be us, individual. Our own authenticity, our own integrity, our own sense of self gets to be here. And without the weight of 10 generations of ancestors on your back, it may be just a little bit easier to locate that sense of self here. And as we support the body mind in connecting to that, linking it into all 5/6 senses, including that, excuse me, sense of insight, intuition. And as we connect to the sensual side, reminding the body to take in all of sensuality, including what feels good and what's working well, what's beautiful in your world, what's joyful, useful in your world. And then we're linking that all into governing vessel one, coming back to home base, as a matter of speaking. And as we link that right back to this beginning of this meridian, I see it's still pulsating, but now it's got some softness and some gentleness to it. It wasn't so like weak and thready and forceful, trying to push through and make it happen. It's now got a soft, sensual pulse to it. And as that sensual pulse begins to move through not just governing vessel one, but I actually see it slowly pulsing like a tide ebbing and flowing all the way up the entire channel of governing vessel 20, pardon me, of the governing vessel meridian. And we're going to get to 20 in just a sec. But in the pulsing of that, delivering information around what it means to be protected and to feel soft, gentle, easeful in doing so. And then linking that into governing vessel 20, which governs all of our habit patterns, to support this patterning within the governing vessel meridian that it gets to protect in a way that creates more ease, more gentleness, more softness. And as we support the body mind in taking up protection energy in its own way, I see it as for those who may have a bit of this going on, releasing those patterns of having to be overly independent or do it all yourself. And all that goes with that, including the decision that gets made, often based on the fact of, well, no one else is doing it, or they're doing it wrong, or no one else ever will think to do it, or whatever the judgments may be behind that thinking of, I have to be independent and do this on my own. Which all started for very, very good reasons when you were quite small. And now, whatever layers of those that are ready to also soften and drop away get to be invited to do so. And we're linking this all into the heart chakra for its role in harmony in relationships, whether that be the internal relationships, the external relationships. Perhaps there's no difference. We're going to tap this part in here. I'll invite you to breathe however you may feel called to. Beautiful. And as that settles in for just another breath or two, touching in on that resource if you feel called to. And even making any micro adjustments that the body might be wanting. As you might be introducing just a little bit of movement, I'm going to invite you, if you are moving or if you feel called to move, to give in particular those heels of your feet just a little bit of extension, one at a time, pulsing in their own rhythm, in their own way. And as we get to just a small movement happening through the heels, it may begin to ripple up through the pelvis, through to governing vessel one. And here I see the governing vessel one in the pelvic bowl overall as being almost like a button on that diaphragm, like a push button, almost like a doorbell. And it's got that energy of like, don't push my buttons. Don't trigger me. Don't activate me. Don't challenge me, whatever the words may be. And that button is interesting because it's not a button that's available from the outside to push. It's a button that's actually from the very inside, which can only be pushed by you. So that's interesting. And as we work with that, there's this patterning of ease around looking outward for blame, which we, I'm sure, have heard before, that when we point your finger outwards, there's three more pointing back at ourselves. And as we look at this tendency to blame others for pushing our buttons, it's linking into another cell repair. And this is also inherited through the family lines on dad's side, going back a fair ways, 10 generations again. 10 is the number for today. And as we look at that, looking in particular at the temper, the tendency to flip our lids, so to speak, and that tendency for temper perhaps getting in the way of connection. And this temper, in a way, forming again that internal button that we're only really ever pressing ourselves, but perhaps blaming others for. It gets to be almost like a pressure release valve. So it's like, I can just like let it out in this way. And that pattern that began 10 generations ago that's created this pattern here and now. To address this, in addition to cell repair, to restore these cells back to their fullest potential of health around that internalization of that button. Got it. The internalization itself is what we need to address as a form of protection. It's as if the button went from the external to the internal as a form of yourself wanting to protect everybody else from you. And it became almost a form of repression or suppression. So that's how that's playing out more so in this lifetime. Okay. Now, as we work with that, heading into the eighth chakra for its past life energy to release that from 10 generations ago. And as we release that, simultaneously running lymphatic circulation through the entire pelvic bowl along with hydration. So, lymph draining out gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing. And then the hydration bringing in fresh water, fresh emotional capacity, fresh joy. And in addition to that, supporting the capacity to be a little bit more flexible. To go with the flow so that button doesn't get pushed so easily. And with that, I see the button begin to soften and melt into the actual tissue of that pelvic bowl itself. And then governing vessel one begins to pulse in the same way that it was before in that rhythmic celebration energy. Almost as if it got to set down a really heavy weight and it's taking a moment to savor that for its own self. And if you're still pulsing the legs with your heels and that feels good, feel free to carry on. But know that we've done the work associated with that part. So you're welcome to bring that in for a nice soft landing. And as you do so, it might be interesting just to check out your pelvic floor, your pelvis. Maybe it's different in some way, shape, or form. Yeah, although you may not have noticed, I didn't really cue you to scan that before. But if you do notice anything, yay. And we're linking now the sit bones, the ischiotuberosities, the ischiums, lots of fancy words, but in plain language, are sit bones to the earth. Whether you're sitting, lying, standing, we might feel a little bit more easy when we're sitting, or maybe even laying, but in particular, sitting. And as we connect those sit bones to the earth, it actually allows for those postural control muscles that we were working with earlier to more readily support uprightness. And as it does so, extending through that thoracic spine where we were working on all those adhesions to elevate and create a little bit more space throughout that rib cage, which also offers protection. And as we soften the rib cage itself to support it in protection in a way that's also soft without having to be rigid, which just leads to overall weakness in time, it's also releasing the pattern of collapsing or that pattern of dropping really strongly inward and hiding within ourselves. Yeah, and that collapsing or hiding deep within ourselves as a form of containment really becomes, in essence, a form of isolating internally without even having to leave the space wherever we are. There could be other people around, but we have this sort of way of dropping even more deeply inwardly and isolating and closing off as a form of potentially like escapism. Out of, again, really good reasons, this desire to protect, this desire to hold yourself, this desire to be with yourself, which might be hard to do if it's out there feeling not so safe. So as we support this, releasing some fear energy now. For whatever reason, it's hooked into the gallbladder meridian, which is supposed to work with anger, not fear. And as it releases off of the gallbladder meridian, which runs up the side body and goes deep into the head brain, deep into our limbic brain, including that amygdala complex, which makes decisions based off of often fear, anger, rage, versus responding at times. We're going to simultaneously run hydration through the nervous system, through that head brain, and through that gallbladder meridian. And since the gallbladder meridian runs more on the sides of the body, it's also an invitation to branch out from any parts of you or yourself in totality, that might feel like it's hidden or collapsed internally or isolated inside, deep within. And as the gallbladder meridian has got the side body contained, it actually becomes potentially a little bit easier to branch out, to reach out. And I keep saying branch out. The gallbladder meridian works with wood elements, so I have to think of it as much like a tree energy of sorts. And it also works with new beginnings. New beginnings. So does the lung, but the gallbladder is a bit of a pivot point, helps us to make choices and to decide and to catalyze newness. Yeah, we're running a permissions here. It's safe to come out now. It's safe to come out now. And as we support the body in coming out of hiding internally inside of you, and branching out towards the very edges of you. We're going to simultaneously go the other direction. If there's any other energy of you that's outside of you, calling it back home. And if any part of you is more comfortable outside of yourself than inside of yourself, then looking at this as an opportunity to invite in whatever comfort you get from being outside of yourself. Whatever the thing is that feels good about that, breathing that in as you receive yourself back to you, along with all that goodness that you find out there. There is space for it to be here now. There is containment for it to be here now. Now we're linking this all into House 12. And I'm just hearing the word like a permission. It's over now. It's over now. And as we release all the way through this 12th house, house of endings, releasing itself, letting go, house of allowing, house of surrendering, house of peeling back the layers of who it is you are not to fully embrace the energy of who you really are. Linking that into house number one, house of new beginnings, house of the lungs this time, working with new beginnings now from the lung perspective. And I just hear the words, it's safe to step forward now. It's safe to step forward now. Even if it's just a half inch, even if it's a full step, even if it's a few steps. It's safe to step forward now. And if it feels right, if those legs are calling you for a little bit more movement, you can even play with what it is to step forward. And going no more than feels pretty cozy, comfortable, just on that very edge of what might be a challenge, but no need to push that. That's linking now into house number five, house of play, house of pleasure. As Charlie licks himself, always off camera, I had a moment where I was going to try to incorporate that into a bit of a joke, but pleasure, play, inner child, house of the sun, which connects us to our fullest life force potential available. And linking that into the entirety of the governing vessel meridian. And I see the sun is shining down through the crown, all the way through that governing vessel meridian. To support that feeling again of being held. Someone's got your back. This energy has your back. Yeah. And as we work with that, perhaps even that which is eternal, whatever your word may be for that, has your back. And unhooking a bundle of belief systems from the sacrum, through the midline of the sacrum. And the belief system theme here is I have to fight to get my needs met. And it's relating to a piece of birth trauma in which you felt kind of trapped in the birth canal and feeling like you might not be able to get out, and that creating a cycle of fear that flooded the system. And this fear of essentially being trapped within your own self, hiding within your own self is a close, I think, proximity there. And that energy of feeling trapped in this way, creating the need for movements out of straight up fear as a survival response here, became a little bit too hardwired later on. although understandable for very, again, really good reasons. And as we begin to unwind that through that midline of the sacrum, it also releases off of the base of the sacrum where it links into that tailbone. And then I see that tailbone become even more upright, even more aligned, which helps the alignment of that entire governing vessel meridian to find an even more useful holding place. Holding place isn't the right word, alignment. And it releases the places of holding. There we go. That were an attempt to, just push past that lack of alignment through the sacrum tailbone, or to compensate for that all in a way. And that again is linking now into house number eight, specifically for its role in regeneration. And I just see that pulsing of the governing vessel one point continue to pulse upward through that meridian, supporting this flow of regeneration energy. I'm going to invite you to take a few breaths here, however the body mind feels called to, as we tap this part in here. And as we bring this in for a nice soft landing, I'll invite you to take a moment to stay right here with your attention if that feels juicy, yummy. And if not, I invite you to take your attention to that resource where we started. And I have a song, 2.5 minutes. I think you'll know which one it is. It's by the artist known as Anthem Lights. It's a cappella.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Thank you for calling this medicine in. And thank you for being here. We went a little bit over the hour today, and I just want to say a special thank you for your patience as we went a few minutes over time. And all of my love for your presence and to all that's gone into the creation of us all gathering here in these ways today. And I wish you a wonderful rest of your day and a beautiful week ahead. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Om Shanti. Bye for now, y'all. And if anyone would like an additional bit of support afterwards, feel free to stick around.